and welcome to Good Questions, Real Answers. I'm Kimberly with Lion and Lamb Ministries. This is Monty Judah, our director. Good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am excellent today.
That's wonderful to hear.
Good.
That's really wonderful to hear. And I want you to know that we have a plethora of questions today.
I love plethora
yes,
of
we
questions.
Have a plethora. And even better, icing on the cake, we have a variety.
Wow.
I know, a variety in our plethora.
How about a smorgasbord?
Oh, I like that even better.
Okay, good.
Yes, I like that even better.
Okay.
Okay, well, here we go with the first one.
Here we go.
All right. This question is from Monty and Marilyn.
Okay.
And their question is about Ezekiel 39:9.
Okay.
And this is the verse, "Then those who inhabit the cities of Israel will go out and make fires with the weapons and burn them, both bucklers and shields, bows and arrows, war clubs and spears, and for 7 years they will make fires of them." On the Gregorian timeline, when does Ezekiel 39:9 occur? Additionally, would viewing this scripture from a Hebrew cyclical time perspective provide any valuable insight to this or other scriptures? For example, is this going to happen during 2025, after 2025, but before the shutting down of the altar? They're just trying to kind of get a feel of when is this
in the prophetic
of the
sequence.
In the prophetic sequence, well, going to happen?
Well, this is a great question because I've had this question for a long time myself.
Yes.
Is the Ezekiel 38-39 war,
yes,
that we're describing there, is given as a specific war? And the thing that tells us about the end of the ages is it talks about the enemy we call Gog and Magog.
Yes.
We associate Gog and Magog at the end of the ages, leading to the day of the Lord. Now, this particular passage in Ezekiel 39 is telling about the aftermath of the great victory, that it will result in a great victory for Israel, and it's talking about how the enemy was destroyed and their weapons of war are going to be used for other reasons and
yes,
so forth. But then it describes this burial procedure and of 7 months, and then it describes this burning of the weapons for
right,
7 years.
Yes.
Well, anytime you see a time prophecy in the Bible, anything associated with the end times, well, you're asking, well, how does this time frame fit up with the other time frame? Great tribulation, 3.5 years. Some people think the tribulation is 7 years. Is this the same time period? It could be associated with it. That's really the nature of what this question is. It's asking, how do we correlate that prophecy in Ezekiel 38:39 with the other end time prophecies for it?
Yes.
So I wish I could give you a perfectly clear answer on this, but I can't.
Okay.
Because there's still some lingering questions there that we still haven't sorted out. One is, it appears that this battle is clearly before the days of the Great Tribulation.
Okay.
It's not associated in the Great Tribulation. It appears clearly it's before the Great Tribulation. And in fact, and if you get down into the, it's interesting, he asked the question, how does it fit in the Gregorian calendar? The Gregorian calendars are normal calendar of seasons, mm-hmm, and summer and winter and so forth. Battles and wars of this type in Israel tend to be fought either beginning in the spring or beginning in the fall.
Okay.
And those are when the more moderate temperatures come. That's when rains come. That's, you know, other things like that in the land. And typical wars that we've seen in the past, they've come at those time frames. So I don't know that that necessarily is the answer to when when to expect that or not. But I can tell you this. Traditionally, at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in the fall,
mm-hmm,
on the intermediate Sabbath, the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath that falls during the 8-day festival,
yes,
of the Feast of Tabernacles, the reading that they give on that Sabbath is Ezekiel 38:39.
Wow.
That each fall, we do a review of this prophecy. Now, the rabbis say that they believe they do that because they believe that war may come at that time frame, and they want God's people to be aware of what the prophecy says about it.
Okay.
Now, whether or not that is going to happen that way or not, I don't know, but I can tell you that's what the traditional expression is about. Whether or not that lends insight as to the timing of it or not, we don't know. I do know back October 7th,
yes,
when we had the attack from Hamas, it came on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes, it did.
It came at that time frame. And so it seems to lend itself to that theme.
Yes.
You know, for what's going on. Now, let's ask the more fundamental question. So I've got a great tribulation, and how does this war line up with it? Specifically, how's the 7 years line up with it? Well, it's clear that the Ezekiel 38-39 war has not yet occurred. So is it we're going to have that war, and then we have 7 years before we have the great tribulation, before we have the final period? Or is it possible there's an overlap of those 7 years with the great tribulation? Or is there the possibility, not only is there an overlap with the 3.5 years of the great tribulation, but there's an overlap that carries all the way into the kingdom?
Fascinating to think about that.
So we got a lot of possibilities,
yes,
for how we correlate this. So now, Monty, okay, what's the answer to the question? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for additional evidence so that we can
right.
make that determination. All I can tell you is they speak of these things into the future. We're anticipating mm-hmm. them.
Yes.
How does it all quite fit together? We're still waiting to see how it all fits.
Right. And with everything popping off in the Middle East,
it's caused us to watch real closely.
Very carefully.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Very carefully.
We're watching the conflict in the Middle East. Does it lead itself to the Ezekiel 38-39 war or not?
Mm-hmm.
The fulfillment of it, I don't know. We keep watching.
Yes, we do. All right. Our second question is from Victoria. Victoria asks, I prayed for wisdom concerning a decision I had to make. An answer came that I wasn't even considering and was quite surprised by it. So I've been praying for confirmation as a means of discernment and have not received an answer. Am I wrong to ask for confirmation? The voice I received was quite clear. The answer, however, is not what I want, but I do want His will to be done, not my own.
Well, I commend you on you wanting God's will, and it is most appropriate for you to ask for confirmation.
Yes.
The Torah teaches us, you shall not call anything the truth except by the evidence of two or three.
That's right.
You need confirmation to determine the truth. If you believe that God has spoken to you, shown you something, and you want to act on it, it's very appropriate and very wise on your part to say, God, I need you to confirm that.
Yes.
That's the way God does operate.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
His the foundations of His throne is on truth and justice. So He operates on those principles. And I can tell you that there's many instances in Scripture where this has been exercised. One of the most famous stories is the story of Gideon.
That's right.
And the laying out the fleece.
Mm-hmm.
I need confirmation. You know, show me a sign that will
yes.
confirm and so forth. I myself and others, we ask God for confirmation on certain things. People who have received a word from the Lord, you're looking for confirmation for it.
Absolutely.
You know, for it. Those are appropriate things, and based on what I'm hearing this questioner ask, very wise on your part to do that.
Yes.
Continue to ask the Lord for confirmation.
Amen to that. All right. We have a question now from several of our viewers.
Okay.
Okay. Are the Messianic leaders organized to select and tell the congregations, this is around the world, where to flee in the countryside when the time comes?
Heavy emphasis on the messy part of the Messianic movement.
Yes.
We are going to do essentially the same thing that our ancestors did when we left Egypt. We're going to walk out like a mob. We'll be about as organized as a mob.
Yes.
And the leadership and the organization things will come a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, into it. It's really a matter of escaping
right.
at that particular point and following the pattern of the escape, just like our ancestors did.
Yes.
I would love to say that everybody has learned the teaching of the greater Exodus, learned all about the final redemption of Israel, God's great plan on how He's going to deliver His people in the last days. Do you think I can get the believers to pay attention to that?
No.
No, of course not. You know, because why would we change now?
Right. You know, on the messy,
like you said. and actually exercise wisdom along with God's will. No. No, God's going to get the full credit for saving all of us.
Amen to that, right?
Amen.
Even though we'll be obeying, I think we'll still have a little bit of our stiff-neckedness.
Yep. Have you seen illustrating the point, have you seen this commercial about this instant espresso coffee where George Clooney is standing in a trench coat and a hat?
No.
And he plugs the cup in, and he puts a Keurig cup of this special coffee in. I think it's espresso or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to give an advertisement. And he punches a button, it's filling up the cup, and this woman walks up and just takes the cup. And she says, oh, that's delicious. You should have a cup of this. And he looks back at the camera and he goes, unbelievable, in disgust.
Yes.
And I'm certain that when this great event comes, there will be a few of us standing around watching everybody flee and going, unbelievable.
Yes, indeed. You know,
why didn't we get it? Why aren't we not aware of what God's doing?
Exactly.
Okay.
But it'll all work out.
It tends to do that. God, his arm is not short. He knows how to deliver his people, and
that's
I'm sure
right.
he'll do it.
Amen. Okay. This question comes from Matt.
Okay.
And Matt is thinking about AI.
Yes.
And the how it's weaving its way into all of our everything.
Yeah, I read his question here. Mm-hmm. He goes through a whole list of AI events.
Yes.
Countries pursuing this and things like that and so forth. And he's absolutely right that the nations of the world right now have a full court press on to pursue AI, develop the computers that will handle it. And they're looking at all the areas where AI can be of help and advancing technology. And they're saying it's like a revolution that's getting ready to take place.
Absolutely.
Let me take you back in history. For a moment. What was the revolution of the steam engine?
Oh, that changed
it was
everything.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Opened up a whole way of traveling
opened up
and
the
shipping
whole
goods.
Industrial and, thing of building factories and making products and so forth. It changed the world.
That's right.
And the people who got on board, the nations who got on board and started building railroads and started building factories and using that kind of energy for those reasons, profited greatly and increased greatly. Well, you had another revolution when all of a sudden we struck oil and we have the gasoline engine, the changes that came, the dramatic changes in daily life that's affected. AI is going to be the same thing, and they're saying it's even going to be greater than
even
those
more.
Changes. Mm-hmm. So what if somebody would have been standing back there looking at a steam engine and the immense size of it, and it frightened them. By the way, if you walk up to an operating steam engine, it's intimidating.
It really is. They're ginormous.
And they're hot.
Yes.
You know, if the boilers are lit up. I mean, they've got some presence to them.
Yes.
And you can imagine the first time you're seeing a steam engine, how it must have, they've been frightened of it. But you and I, we know what steam engines were. In fact,
right.
They're so old, they don't even have any more. They're more of a novelty now.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way we're reacting to AI right now.
Yes.
It seems awesome and fearsome and fearful. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's because we're not familiar with it. We're not oriented to it.
That's right.
But it's one of the advancements that this world is going through. What are the advancements we're talking about? We're talking about the final fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yes, I believe you're right.
And we made this decision to pursue this stuff way back at the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are, and this time it's really getting scary.
Yeah, it really is.
One of the reasons why God says he comes back to have the day of the Lord is because the world is on the brink of getting ready to destroy the earth and destroy mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming back actually to deliver the earth before we do it.
Yes.
So it's awesome, it's frightening, but it's, in my opinion, it's not something you should be afraid of.
No, I think it's one of those things that we were talking about this in my family the other day, it's one of those things that falls into the category of you can use your power for good or you can use your power for evil.
So that's correct.
It's, you know, AI. I mean, we use AI here in the studio and in
exactly
our daily
right.
work.
And which, a lot of people don't know that, but yeah. it, once you learn what some of it is,
sure.
it's actually helpful.
It's very helpful.
I was one of the first guys in my company to bring a desktop computer into the workplace.
Yeah.
Think about that for a moment. I absolutely love this story about a woman was answering the question, and people were afraid to touch a computer.
Yeah.
When they first came out, they were afraid to touch the keyboard.
Yes.
Which is designed for you to touch, by the way.
Yes.
They were afraid of it. And this woman was writing a letter in to say there's nothing to be afraid of. She loves her computer, works wonderfully. And she went on to say, and her computer has this little slide. You push this button and a little tray comes out and it holds your coffee cup perfectly. And she, of course, was talking about a CD-ROM
yes.
where you're supposed to put a optical disc into it. And for she didn't even know what the thing was for
yeah.
other than she thought it held her coffee
well,
cup.
Well, there you go.
But I love that because she's not afraid of the computer.
Right.
Maybe doesn't understand what that does.
She's going to use it for her
but
good.
She's going to use it for good, and she used it to hold her coffee cup.
Yeah.
We have AI's already introduced itself into the world. A lot
yes.
of people don't even know it.
That's right.
You know, and so forth. And one of the things that we use AI here at the ministry is to help write the prospectus for
yeah.
some of the teaching programs that I do.
That's right.
And I've looked at the product that comes out. I can't write it better than myself. You know, it's wonderful. That
yeah.
that's a good description of what I taught. That's perfect.
Yes.
Let's use that. Concise and perfect. There's many different AI elements. Some of them have to do with dealing with photographs, making
yeah.
art.
Right.
You can write a book.
Yes.
You know, with them, tell them, give
That's
the
right.
give the stuff you want done. Do research for you. The chat GPT, the one you get
yes.
on the phone,
mm-hmm.
it'll do research for you.
Yes.
You want to have a fun exercise? Get that one
mm-hmm.
and ask AI, who is Monty Judah?
Right.
It'll come back and tell you about Lion and Lamb Ministries mm-hmm. and my testimony.
Yeah, that's right.
It does research. It will
yes.
go out and get all the information. And
well,
take.
You know, and that's one of the things that educators are having trouble with now because, you know, and being a former teacher, we used to have all kinds of issues with kids, you know, getting their papers from the internet. Well, now they don't even have to do that. They don't have to find a paper that's already written. They just type into, you know, the AI program, the topic and what they're looking for, and out spits a paper. And so all
and
the teachers
you can
are
actually,
having trouble with
if
that.
You have somebody who's written some papers, you can actually tell it and write it the way this person would write it.
That's right. That's right.
And you can't tell the difference.
You know, one of the, a fun experiment that a friend of mine did at a place where I used to work, it was when AI was just coming out. And so as an experiment, he said, write the book, I think it was the book of Matthew, write the book of Matthew in Shakespearean language.
Yes.
And I mean, in 5 minutes, there it was. And
yeah.
It was amazing.
It was.
It was amazing. So there's all kinds of great things we can do with AI. And of course, there are, you know, those people out
those
there that are going to use it for bad.
Right. Those that want to be deceitful. It's the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
That's right.
You have to make a decision about how you're going to use it.
That's right.
And you have to be aware of how it can be misused.
Yes.
And so forth.
And be on your guard.
So that's the caution with regard
yes.
to it. But as far as an open question, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about this? Mm-hmm. Just remember yeah. how they felt about the first steam engine they saw,
right.
about the first airplane they ever saw,
mm-hmm.
the first computer they ever saw,
right.
you know, the first cell phone they
yes.
ever saw.
Yes.
You go through these different reactions of being oriented to new, very spectacular, advanced
yes.
things.
And to his point, he has a couple of points here. He was asking about the acceleration of AI, how fast it's coming. I think that, to me, that's just another pointer that we're in the end of days. We're in the, with everything, and it's true of everything. The world is moving faster. Developments are coming faster and faster and faster. We did that. I think you wrote an article, and I think we talked about also on a program where, you know, things are moving faster. There is an acceleration to things, and so all that is
well
present in the world. With
and
us.
What that does is that for us to be wise, that means we need to be paying attention.
Yes.
You cannot close your eyes and say, well, I'm not going to watch the merry-go-round anymore. No, you need to be aware of what's
yes,
going
indeed.
On around you.
Yes, indeed. And one of the points that he was asking your opinion on was about President Macron of France, and I've heard this posited before from a couple of other ministries. What do you think about him as a potential candidate for the Antichrist?
Well, there are a whole series of prophecies that deal with the identity of the Antichrist.
Right.
Particularly before the events of the Great Tribulation and then in the events of the Great Tribulation. And when anytime you ID a possible candidate for that position, what you have to do is you have to take what are the identifying factors mm-hmm. and match them up against him. And at first blush, he does not match many of the characteristics yeah. of what are identifying characteristics for the anti-Messiah. You've got the number of his name thing. You have to have where he originates from. You have to have a whole bunch of symbology has to line up
yes.
and so forth. And so there's a bunch of those things that don't line up with him.
Yeah.
Now, is he a shaker and the mover in the world? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he is. And he's worthy to be watched. And you do remember now, the prophecy says there's a host of world leaders that will get in bed with the Antichrist. And
right.
so you're going to find other leaders that seem to carry Antichrist themes and be in agreement with those kinds of policies. But that's just one of the other world leaders and how
sure.
they fit into the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
So is he fitting into some of that as a world leader? Well, yeah, you can make a pretty mm-hmm. good argument for that.
Yeah.
You know, for it. But as to specifically the identity, now we have to go to the specific prophecies and
yes.
compare it to him.
That's right. Awesome and interesting to think about the candidates for the Antichrist.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was given to us to give us a sense of the days that we're living in.
Yes.
If we can identify candidates to be the anti-Messiah, it would indicate to us we probably are the last generation.
That's right.
And we should be paying attention to a whole lot more.
Absolutely. All right. This question comes from Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine says, when Prime Minister Netanyahu visited President Trump in April, he gave credit for Israel's victory to everyone except the Lord, the victory so far in Gaza. What do you think about this?
World politics amongst world leaders on the public domain does not want to mix spiritual or religious things with what's going on. And part of what Netanyahu is doing and what Israel is doing in dealing with the war in Gaza. Now, a ministry like me and a commentator like me, I'm going to talk about the spiritual significance of the conflict. I'm going to talk about the God of Israel and the God of Allah, and that's what this is a religious war. The last thing that the world politicians want to talk about is a religious war.
That's right.
The last thing they want to talk about. They don't want to give any attribution to that because that seems to be what makes people even more volatile.
Yes.
And by the way, the Muslim extremist terrorists, they're volatile enough. We don't need to throw more fuel on
them. That's right.
And you throw the idea out to them that this is a battle with Allah, mm-hmm. and that Allah, by the way, Allah is going to die
yeah.
in this battle, and you will fire them up even more. We don't need
right.
them more agitated or fired up. So
that's
world
right.
leaders are trying to be diplomatic and be very sensitive to the issues, so they're not going to give too much attribution to God
yes.
one way or the other. It's upon you and me as believers of God looking at world events. We see what the Lord is
that's
doing.
Right.
Don't worry about, we don't need the confirmation of Netanyahu or Trump or whatever giving any credit to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know who God is,
yeah.
and we know what God's doing in the world.
Yes.
We can read the prophecies.
That's right. Amen to that. Okay, I think we have time for one more question.
All right.
This question comes from Larry. Larry asked, why is Joel 2:28-29, which appears to be about the millennial kingdom, at its location on your tribulation timeline?
All right. I love this. Joel 2:28-29 says, and it will come about after this, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind.
Yes.
We had an earlier question in the program about Ezekiel 39.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you look at the last verse in Ezekiel 39, in the aftermath of the war, guess what it says? And I, the Lord, will pour out my spirit on the whole house of Israel.
Wow.
So there's a description about an outpouring of the Spirit after a battle.
Yes.
Okay, there in Ezekiel 38, 39. You go to Joel 2:28, and it says, and it will come about after this, I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. Wait a minute, time out. It will come about after what?
Mm-hmm.
Read the verses in front of verse 28. Guess what it's talking about? It's about God who vindicated Israel and defeated a northern army.
Oh, kind of like in Ezekiel.
And like what Ezekiel was talking about. I wonder if those two verses are kind of connected a little bit. Well, it turns out they kind of are. And it gives you the sequence. The battle takes place first. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then it leads you to the events of the day of the Lord and potentially the Great Tribulation. So earlier we had this discussion about what's the timing.
Yes.
Of the Ezekiel 38-39 battle as compared to the rest of the Great Tribulation. That's the passage, that's the thing that seems to speak to the war, that battle takes place prior to the events of the Great Tribulation.
Wow. It's amazing how the prophets connect with each other.
Well, they're all laced together. They were all prophesying from the same God, and they all had the same Spirit.
Yes.
So, yeah, we should be able to see some dots get connected once in a while.
That's a really interesting one.
That is.
You know, after this, well, then, as you said, you look ahead and, or look in front of that. Then you can look back to Ezekiel and see what Ezekiel said.
Yeah, it's significant. There's a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the people are able to prophesy and all that kind of thing. Look, I've always said this. You know, once the Great Tribulation starts, once the abomination of desolation happens and so forth, you can pick up the book of Revelation. It tells you exactly what's going to be happening next.
That's right.
So right after the abomination of desolation and so forth, you can walk up to a believer who's got the book of Revelation and you ask him and say, what do you think is going to happen next? And he can open the book of Revelation and say, well, the next thing it starts talking about is talking about these seven seals. I think some of these seal things are going to start happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're a prophet. You know what's happening. You know what's coming.
Yeah.
I always say the same thing. After you see the third trumpet, walk up to me and ask me, what do I think will happen next? And I'll go, the fourth trumpet. And I'll be a prophet.
That's right.
You know, then, and I will just be brilliant.
Indeed.
So capable of just following what the Word of God says.
Yes. So just to finish up his question, or her question, on your tribulation timeline, it's right. That scripture is positioned where it is on your timeline.
What you see on the timeline is you see at the front of the thing a thing called the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is clearly at the front end of the Great Tribulation. Okay. Now, exactly where it's at, I'm not quite sure, but it's definitely at the front end. And I've always said this, and this is part of the logic too. If you're going to be one of the tribulation saints and make it through the Great Tribulation, you're going to need all the help you can get from God.
That's so true.
And if God has a plan for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you're going to need that and you're going to want that.
Yes.
Because that's what's going to help equip you and get you ready to be able to go through those days.
That's right.
You'll have the infilling of the Holy Spirit to help you tremendously.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Well, and on that note, will you close us in prayer, please?
Sure. Father, thank you for the questions that have come in today. Thank you for the opportunity to share this with the other brethren. I pray, Lord, blessings on our brethren and encouragement to them. Lift them up, raise them up in their most holy faith. We ask all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And we will see you right back here next Sabbath. Bye-bye.